dealing with a lot of spiritual roots. You know, people really don't understand sometimes about the importance of breaking these things off of us. And there's a lot of hindrance. And let me share something with you. Because you've broken off the spiritual root doesn't mean you're automatically going to change. It's a process, isn't it? In fact, there are personal habits that people have picked up that need to be turned over to godly habits. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you're going to find some things changing instantly. But then there's going to be some things that you're still struggling with. And then some things that you're just going to have to make a choice and change that habit. You know, some people have been, whether it be a bandit or on the streets and so forth, there's a tendency, or, you know, depending on their upbringing, there's been a tendency to want to hoard things because afraid of losing them, you know. And even though that somebody's been freed from that now and they have a peace about it, sometimes they'll find themselves going back to that, and that's where you're going to have to take dominion. Does everybody understand that? It doesn't mean that you won't be tempted anymore. No, because everyone is going to be tempted in one way or another. That's what the devil does, doesn't he? He tries to tempt you to cause you to fall. But when you begin to touch and agree with this temptation, that's when you need to repent, right? Renounce and receive what God has. Amen. Receive what the Spirit is telling us. And tonight I want to, I know we did, we talked about spiritual cultism yesterday. And I'm sure everybody did their deliverance for that. And we're going to do deliverance at the end of tonight's session because I really think that what I'm going to talk about tonight is also connected with it. And one of the things I want to talk about is addiction and love. Addiction and love. Now, we know that we talked about touching unclean things. And, you know, some people don't even understand what accursed items are. You know, in Hosea 4:6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge," right? So knowledge represents truth, doesn't it? So, you know, there are going to be things that you're going to have to protect yourself from the occult, from the ways of the powers of darkness and so forth, because they haven't given up on you, right? They still claim you as theirs. So it's our responsibility to constantly keep them off, you know? And there's open doors that the devil's going to try and get you to access you again. And just because you're a believer doesn't mean you can't have a spirit. Amen. That's just crazy. You know, people open themselves up to demonic activity. If they don't repent soon, that spirit's going to linger. And, you know, when you begin to fellowship and you have fellowship with these demonic spirits, they begin to, if the Bible says, bad company corrupts good habits. They begin to corrupt your habits, don't they? You know, and we don't even realize that all of a sudden our attitudes start changing. And next thing you know, your countenance starts changing. Next thing you know, your voice starts changing because of the way you're speaking to people and whatever. So these are things that we're going to have to recognize in our own fruit. All right? And if we can't see our own fruit, then we're really blinded. Amen? And then, but the one thing that we must do, I mean, usually when we miss our own fruit, everybody else tells us. Amen? So what's going to happen is we got to go back through that process of repent, renounce, and receive. Repent, renounce, and receive. Addiction is it's a label that the world has put on people. They look at it as addiction is just as drugs or alcohol, you know. But there's more than just addiction of drugs and alcohol. You can be addicted to many things. People are addicted to food. People are addicted to codependency is a representation of addiction, you know. People can be addicted to work. People can be addicted to many things. And there's even cross addiction. You might get off of one addiction and go to another. You know, if you've ever noticed that many people involved in, you know, in the 12-step program now, what they do is they come off of one addiction and they go to another. Amen? Until they find Christ. So, you know, many people pick up other things. I mean, even nicotine is an addiction, right? Even caffeine can be an addiction. An addiction is anything you can't lay down from your own will, using your own will. If you can't lay it down, then you're addicted. Does everybody understand that? If you can't make the choice to lay something down and stay away from it, you're addicted to it. Hello? That's why people try to do things in their own strength for a period of time, don't they? And they just can't. There's been people who have been cross-addicted. They've laid down drugs and alcohol for 5 or 6 years, but you know what? They've picked up other stuff. And when they've picked up something else, whether it be work or... I mean, you can be addicted to you. You know? We can pick up idols. And people begin to work out more. And all of a sudden they get addicted if they don't miss the gym that day. So what they're actually doing is they're cross-addicting things. And when they miss certain things and they get into a big trauma, if they can't make their addiction of going to a gym or a meeting or whatever it is, you know what they do? They go back to using again. Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
See, we don't want to manage addiction. We want to be free from it. And the world tries to manage addiction. And they manage addiction by other drugs, don't they? They manage addiction by trying... Did you ever hear somebody, man, I got to stay busy. If I'm not busy, I'll get into trouble. Well, then you're trying to manage your addiction. Does everybody got that? And we don't want to try and manage it. We want to be totally free from it. That's why people go in cycles. Because they're not free from it yet. Okay? Would you turn to Matthew 11? Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Everybody there? In verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Would you read it with me? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That representation of rest is peace, isn't it? That's why he says, come to me. The whole problem is there's such false peace that the world gives out there. And false rest that the devil says, hey, come on to me and relax. Now, here, I got something for you to give you peace. But Jesus said, come to me, all you who heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and what?
Learn
from me. We are to learn from him. He said, look it, if you'll come and take, look at all of you that are frustrated, that you're not rest, that you're diseased, addicted, tormented, whatever it may be, come to me, right, and learn from me. Take my yoke and learn from me. He didn't say you're going to be instantly freed. He said, learn from me. That's a process. That's where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way is repent, right, in this area of the process. The truth is to renounce and break the powers off, and the life is to receive. New life. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, or peace. Right? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me tell you something. If the burden is heavy, then it's not God. You've picked up more than you should have. People love to pick up more. They like to take more responsibility than what God has already given them. And when they do that, they begin to sink. They pick up too many burdens. And that's when you have to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, teach me. Show me. What do you want me to do? He said, learn from me. Jesus didn't pick any burdens, did he? He did what he was supposed to do, and it was up to people to do the rest. You can't save somebody else's life. You can't even deliver yourself. That's why Jesus said, come to me. What he'll do is give you tools and weapons, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to always come to him. He'll guide you in that path. He'll teach you the ways. One of the things the word says is, depart from evil. Depart from evil. Well, you know, many people try to struggle with evil. They like to dance with evil instead of departing with evil. And then they like to challenge evil. Hello? Well, you don't want to do that. The word says depart from evil. Why? Because I'd rather be yoked with the Lord than yoked with a demon. Hello?
Hello?
So we want to learn from him. Easy yoke and light burdens, right? That's what we want. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. And we've read this before many times. verse 5 and 6 through 10. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. Starting at verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. That means respect one another. And be clothed with humility. That means humbleness. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Oh, hallelujah. That means you have to go to him and cast those cares upon him. What he's saying is, will you give it to me and quit trying to work it yourself? Give it to me and quit trying to figure it out. Give it to me. Do you ever get caught in a circumstance where all of a sudden you've got to know everything? And it brings frustration and torment, doesn't it? That's where you and I have to go to the Lord and give it to him. I get so many things flooded in my office sometimes that I just got to stop. And it's like, you know what? I'm not getting out of that. I'm not going to get sucked into that ring. Because you know what? I can't fix it anyways. I turn around. I take all this stuff. And I go, Dad, here you go. Now, what do you want me to take care of? I don't need to know anything. I can trust you. However you want it, so be it. And what he does is out of my pile, he takes one thing at a time. And he says, okay, this is what we're going to do with this. Okay, well, what about this? Don't go there. That's not your responsibility yet. See, what happens, we have a tendency to want to pick up these things, don't we? We want to pick up these burdens. Well, when am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Let's see, what am I going to do with my first paycheck? What am I going to do? How am I going to take care of this? What about this one? No, you take that whole pile of confusion, frustration, and torment, and you give it to the Lord because you can't fix it anyways. That's what gets us in trouble. Because what happens is when we can't fix it, we get all messed up. And the devil comes up with his apron and his pitchfork and or his knife and spoon and fork, and he says, okay, it's time for me to eat. Because see, he's feeding off of your emotions. Oh, and he's having a heyday. Then he invites the rest of his friends over, doesn't he? Hey, come on over, man. Such and such. Look it. We got him cornered. Hallelujah, it's lunch. Right? And we didn't want to be lunch for the devil, do we? Therefore, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. It says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. He's looking for access to you, and no matter which way. He's not a respecter of person. Resist him. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So everybody's going through it, right? But may the God of grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So God will work it. God will work it for his glory if you're willing to go through it. Amen. Now let me share something with you, some of the things that happen. If you're not willing to cast your cares and burdens upon him, and he's looking for you, what's going to happen is you're going to grab a hold of stress, anxiety, and fear. You're going to grab hold of stress, anxiety, and fear. First of all, you're going to be so stressed out because you're going to be afraid whether you can do it or not. And you're going to be anxious so that it gets done right away. Hello? It causes stress, anxiety, and fear unless you're willing to give it to God. Because what you're trying to do, can everybody hear me back there? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, am I on? Glory to God. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, praise God. What's going to happen as you begin to pick up these spirits, because they're trying to access you with stress and fear and anxiety, what's going to happen is they're going to start to convince you that God doesn't love you. Does everybody get that? I mean, man, when you get frustrated, you go, "Oh, Lord, where are you?" And you know what he said? "I've been here the whole time. Would you just give me the stuff? Quit trying to work it out, Mr. and Mrs. Prideful. Hello? Hand it over. I'm willing to take care of it. Just give it to me." See, what happens is we begin to agree, touch and agree with these spirits, and they have access to us, don't they? Next thing, you believe that you've been breached love of God. "Well, Lord, if you loved me, you wouldn't do all this stuff. If you loved me, Lord, I wouldn't have to go through all of this stuff." He said, "If you loved me, you'd give me the stuff." Hello? "If you really loved me, give me this stuff, will you? I'm willing to take care of it." But oh, we get in the human arena. We fall from living out of the spirit to living out of the flesh. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. You know, sometimes when we get in that area, we fall into, you won't even receive help. We get into that, "I can do it myself. That's it." We become self-martyrism. We become self-destructive and not even realize it. And the devil's having a heyday. Oh, he's just at us. And what he's doing is he's breaching God's love. Not that God isn't sending his love to you, but you're not willing to receive it. Has everybody got it? It's really important. We won't receive help. And we believe that it is an act of reward for us. It's called false love. In other words, our suffering is an expression of love. That's ridiculous. That's a lie from the devil. That's false love. Has everybody got it? So as we go through this torment, we have a tendency to say, "Oh Lord, I'm doing this for you." And God's saying, "I already did it." You know, so we come into that arena, and we talked about this the other night, about even in the occultism as a form of worship to demonic activity. They had children going through fire. They'd sacrifice animals and people and so forth. God's not interested in our sacrifice, is he? He's interested in our obedience. What is he trying to do? Remove the sacrifice. He was the sacrifice. There's no reason for us to go through tormentation anymore. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're to receive the peace, joy, and the Bible says the kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And that's what we want, because God is love, isn't he? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Hallelujah. In verse 1 it says, "And at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" And Jesus called a little child to him and set him on his in the midst of them and said, "Surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, what's a little child? It's all trusting, quick to repent, and willing to receive correction. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, whomever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one of the little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. That's known as a breach of love. Many of us have been brought up in a breach of love. Let me share something with you which is important. Addiction is a need to be loved. That's why people fall into addiction. There's a need to be loved. Now your carnal mind and understanding is saying, well, I am loved in this and I am loved in that. There's another arena where there's a need to be loved. Because somewhere along your life, a breach of love has happened somewhere along the line. And you're still holding on to that attachment or that spiritual root. Is everybody with me? You know, offenses. Abandonment would be offense, right? Somebody sinned against you. Abandonment, abuse. What happens is we need to be loved. So it takes people into the world to find love in wrong places. When I had my encounter with the Lord, I realized that it was Him I was looking for the whole time. We must experience the love of God. That's what frees people from addiction. Does everybody understand that? Because it's not about just drugs and alcohol. People can get off the drugs and alcohol, then they start go through another addiction, don't they? They exchange one addiction for another. And the devil convinces them, well, it's not as bad. You know, some people are addicted to pornography. Well, I'm not using anymore. You know what I'm saying? So, but it's still addiction, isn't it? There's still a root. There's still something where there's a breach of love involved, which is the spiritual root of addiction is an unloving spirit. That's actually the strong man. It's an unloving spirit. Because people are looking for love in the wrong places, aren't they? So addiction is a lack of love, isn't it? I mean, think about it. We're always looking for that feeling of love. So we would drink, we would use, whatever. Hey, you could have a good wife. You could have a good family. You could have all kinds of people who love you and whatever. But somewhere along the line, there was a breach of love in your life which caused you. It's either inherited, hello, or it's manifested somewhere through a trauma in your life. Whether there's a child of abuse, whether it be abandonment, somewhere along the line, you needed to have a place in your mom and dad's heart, and it was never manifested. Has everybody got it? Somewhere along that line, there was not a place in your mother or your father's heart, and there was abandonment. There was rejection. There was abuse. It could be physical, sexual, or verbal. Sometimes some of us had to try to prove our love to our parents. That's not love, is it? Some of us were brought up, well, if you do this, then you'll show me you love me. See, God's love for me and you is unconditional. Has everybody got it? Unconditional. Go to Genesis 3. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3. Is everybody there? Praise God. In verse 14 and 15. And the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So the Satan already knew that there was going to be seeds coming in, right? He was trying to prevent seeds from coming in. He knew that if he could wound the seed before it could wound him, he might think he could have victory. See, he's been trying to kill me and you and every human being that comes into this world as soon as you were conceived in the womb. As soon as you were conceived. Many of us were conceived out of wedlock, picked up a curse, right? Many of us were, our parents didn't want us, and there was talk of abortion. Were you ever a child that was a mistake? I was a child that was a mistake. Hello? As soon as you were conceived, and that impartation of you were a mistake, the spirit of rejection hit you. That opened the door, and you've been fighting against it your whole life. Has everybody got that?
Yeah.
These are spiritual roots. So immediately, once that spirit of rejection hit, it was unloving, wasn't it? There was a breach of love. Some of us never had that love. Some of us, our families never even said we love you, or if they said they loved you, it was superficial. You knew that there was just not that embrace of that love. Some of us were orphans and sent from one family to another family or whatever, and never received that love. And we were looking for love. Amen?
Amen.
We were looking for love. And that whole time that we were looking for love, we couldn't find it. And we began to look into the world. And as we began to seek the world for love, we'd be following the pornography, power, hello? All these other addictions. I mean, there are so many addictions. Let me just go through a couple of them. Of course, we know that there's legal and illegal drug addiction, right? And let me share something with you. Illegal drugs is the least amount of deaths in this country. The greatest amount of deaths in this country is prescription drugs. The FDA is accountable for many the deaths. The number one death in this country is prescription drugs. Not cancer, not AIDS, prescription drugs. Has everybody got it? You know why? Because they cross these drugs, the side effects of these drugs. Remember, pharmakia or pharmakos means black magic, witchcraft, and sorcery. And the reason why it falls into that category is because what it does is bring deception to your body. Right? I mean, what is it doing? It's actually bypassing the curse, because addiction is a curse. Hello? But the spiritual root of it is an unloving spirit, isn't it? It's an unloving, it's a strong man of it. So you can't bypass this curse. You must go to the root of it and sever it to get free. Food addictions, addictions to lust, pornography, masturbation, addictions in relationships, gambling, entertainment. Man, there are some people, you can't get away from the TV. They live for movies. That's their fulfillment. Even intellect addiction. Somebody wanting to get knowledge all the time. You know, even the word says that coming to the, getting a lot, learning, 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 but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's getting a lot of knowledge, but never getting an understanding of the truth. There are codependence or soul tie addictions, workaholics, and so nicotine and whatever, you know. So you can see that things can be replaced, can't they? One addiction can be replaced. So we're looking for fulfillment, aren't we? What we're actually doing is looking for love. When I had my encounter with the Lord and I was filled with His Spirit, my life was fulfilled. Has everybody got it?
Yeah,
my life was fulfilled right then and there. I said, whoa, this is wild. Here I am walking with the Lord 2 weeks and my life is fulfilled. As far as I'm concerned, you can take me home. Why? Because I met my love. I met my love. I was fulfilled in that love. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the root cause is the need to be loved, isn't it? We have a desire and need to be loved. We are created with love and out of love. God is love, right? So you see in Genesis that the serpent knew exactly how to get me and you. He was trying to destroy the seeds that were coming into the world by causing a breach of love. Because he knows that if he can affect you spiritually, he can affect you physically. Amen?
Amen.
Go to Genesis 4. And in verse 3. Hallelujah. Read it with me. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of what? Of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. First of all, they understood what the true offering was. Adam and Eve taught their sons how to do the right offering. It was given to them when they left the garden. Remember, they had fig leaves on them, right? And what did the Lord do? He killed an animal. He showed them how to do the correct offering. Even Job knew, right, how to do the correct offering. Hallelujah. Abel also brought the firstborn of the flock and their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted or loved? Is everybody following me? Will you not be loved? Why are you angry? Does everybody got it? He said, don't you understand? You'll be loved. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Well, who lies at the door?
Satan
lies at the door. An unloving, unclean spirit lies at the door. So either you're, even though you made a mistake, you can either maintain my love or you're going to open the door for an unloving spirit. And its desire is for you, but you should what? Rule over it. Has everybody got that?
Yeah.
That's where you and I should have the discernment to rule over these things. The reason why people go to things to get high or get fulfillment is because they lack love. They're looking for love. Everybody got it? Go to Matthew 22. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Would you read it with me? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. Wow. Love God, yourself, and others. Well, who wants to breach that? Satan. How many times have you beaten yourself up? How many times has the devil said, man, you might as well just kill yourself. Nobody loves you. He's a liar, isn't he? Do you understand that? He's a liar. God's love for me and you is unconditional. And we really need to get that, because that's how people get set free from addictions. Oh, hallelujah. No matter what you've done, if you've asked for forgiveness, it's done. But the devil always will remind you, man, you remember this? How can God forgive you? Go to Luke 11. Luke chapter 11. In verse 19. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. A strong man is a high-ranking demon. Now, the palace is you. Hello? It says, listen, when he is fully armed and he guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. His goods are in peace. That means you're in torment. Does everybody got this? In other words, when he's at peace in you, you're the one that's in torment. Now, but when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. Because he who's in you is greater than he who's in the world, right?
Amen.
He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Now he's talking about these demonic forces, aren't they? When they're entering you and using you, they're at peace, and you're at torment. Now look at verse 24. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest. Remember, we talked about that tonight. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. They have not given up on you. They still Satan still claims you as his son. So when this spirit leaves, right? It's trying to come back, isn't it? And when he comes and he finds it swept and put in order, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than before. What's he trying to do? Overcome. He's trying to overcome you, isn't he? And they enter and dwell there, and his last state of that man is worse than the first. So what happens is when those spirits have left you, you have peace. But when those spirits are in you, you have torment. Does everybody got that? So we're not fighting flesh and blood, are we? We're fighting powers of darkness. What you feel is an expression of some spirit. It's an expression of some spirit. Well, man, I really can't stand that person. Hello? Sounds like a spirit of hatred. Remember, what you associate with is going to manifest in your flesh, in your tongue, in your thoughts, in your attitude, in your motives. But what's he trying to do? He's trying to constantly bring that breach of love, isn't he? Some of us have been clean for a long time. You know, I mean, I've been clean for a long time. And all of a sudden, when I get frustrated, I hear the voice of the stranger say, man, why don't you just go out and go on use. I don't entertain it. In fact, most I laugh at it. Because there's no reward in it. Does everybody understand that? There's nothing but torment in it. So no longer do I look for a reward from anything. I go to my dad because of the relationship. Because immediately the Holy Spirit shows you what the end result is. Does everybody got it? He shows you what the end result is. Now you have the choice to accept it. And then what happens is that spirit of deception comes and starts hitting you with denial. That's what a spirit of deception does. He starts hitting you with denial, and then he starts reasoning. And the devil starts saying, man, I didn't have to go through all of this stuff. If I got to go through all this stuff to get free, I don't want it. Well, then you didn't really want to get free from the beginning. You want to drive through. Hallelujah. Take this pill and it's over with. That's what the devil wants you to do. Take that pill and it's over with. So a strong man is a high-ranking demon, is a unloving spirit. When he is at peace, you're in torment, and when you're at peace, he's in torment. Hallelujah. So we got to understand that he torments us with our thoughts and everything, doesn't he? Go to Proverbs 2. Or go to Proverbs, 23, I'm sorry. Proverbs 23. Glory to God. Proverbs 23. And verse 7. Would you read it with me? Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Hello? So when you get frustrated and tormented and whatever, and the devil's starting to hit you with all kinds of stuff, as you think in your heart, so you are. What's he trying to do? He's trying to put a picture of you and trying to breach that love, saying, man, you're just no good. You're unworthy. How could God do this? You know, he's throwing everything he can. You know, they said that you would always be an addict. Once an addict, always an addict. What a lie from hell. That's a lie from hell. The Bible says there were new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. Now what we have to do is walk it, and we have to go through the process, don't we? You'll never amount to anything. That's a lie. You already are somebody. God chose you before you even came. Amen? God chose you, that you are a specific seed. You are the specific seed out of all those sperm cells, right? That went through and passed by those eggs. God chose you. Hello?
Praise God.
As he thinks he is, and as he speaks, he gets. So if the devil can convince you and torment you in your thoughts and cause you to look at yourself, hello, me, myself, and I, nobody loves me, nobody cares for me, and this, that, and whatever, and grumble and complain and do this, and man, you know what, five people are doing this because they're looking at themselves and they're resisting the move of the Spirit. And what happens then is we keep our eyes on us and we miss God, don't we? We miss actually what God is trying to do. And then we begin to speak things, and as what you speak is what you get. Because there's a spiritual law called sowing and reaping, isn't there? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh, to God be the glory. In verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh in the natural realm, we do not war according to the natural realm. Everybody got it? Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not natural or carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So the devil's going to hit you in your thoughts, isn't he? In your thoughts, if you're willing to accept what he's saying to you in your thoughts, then you're going to begin to express them. As you begin to express them, your body is going to begin to express them. Because there's a lot of things that happen. Your body knows stress, anxiety, and fear, doesn't it? Well, you and I are chemically made. All right? We're chemically made. And when your body begins to release these chemicals to protect the body, like with fear, you know, adrenaline and stuff like that. Now, if you're stressed and anxiety all the time and feared, your body is actually releasing more of these chemicals. Your body cannot take it. Your body begins to eat its own immune system. And people get sick. Is everybody with me? What the devil tries to do is program unloving thoughts against God, yourself, and others. And if he can do that, there are things which we call a mind-body. Serotonin, your body, is a feel-good hormone, right? And that deals with self-love. Self-love. What it's trying to do is it releases. When people don't love themselves, serotonin tries to kick in. But if too much serotonin is involved, it begins to damage the body. Dopamine is a lust hormone. It's involved in pornography. It's also a good feeling. In fact, dopamine, what happens is when people take cocaine or crack, your body actually releases dopamine. And that's what you get high off of. You don't get high off the dope. And it takes 2 years to redo its fullness of dopamine. That's why once you take the first hit, you never reach it again. Everybody got it? Because what you got high off of was the crack or the cocaine released the dopamine in your body. You got high off of the hormone, not off the dope. That's why they call it a psychological addiction. It's called dopamine. And once you take that hit, you can't get it. You never get that first hit again. And you're constantly looking for it. You're constantly looking for it. Because what happens is the dopamine has been released. You get high off of the dopamine. It's a good feeling hormone. But too much, the constant things that happen, your body begins to release chemicals and begins to affect your own body, where you begin to break out in rashes. You begin to break out in sicknesses and diseases, cancer. All kinds of things begin to happen because it's eating your immune system, and these expressions must come through your flesh. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 23. One of the things that we must be able to do is being able to feel the love of God for yourself. That is your freedom from addiction. We want to get in God's presence. We want to feel His love. Amen. And like I said, some of us love has been breached. Addiction can be inherited. Your mother and father could have been an alcoholic. Your grandmother, my grandfather was an alcoholic. Right? It could be an inherited spirit. So that spirit chose to come to me instead of my brother. Hello? That's why some people go, well, man, why is my brother the way I am? Or my sister? And everybody, you know, I'm the polka-dotted sheep of the family. Why did it hit me and nobody else? Because that spirit chose to come to me. Didn't choose to go to the rest of them. But does it mean that they're not vulnerable? You're darn right they're vulnerable still. But did you ever notice that some people can, that people that you and I went to school with or whatever, we used to get high with when we were young, and they stopped. And we kept going. Wonder why that was that. You know why? Because they didn't inherit that. They were abusing. And you and I were addicted because that demon was there. But they're doing something else. Amen?
Amen?
So that demon, there's another demon there doing something else. Is everybody all right? Do you all get that?
Yeah, amen.
Because those are spiritual roots, aren't they? These spiritual roots are associated with demonic activity, whether inherited caused by a trauma, right? Or temporary. And these things are called curses. Psalm 23. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Would you read with me in verse 1? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, hallelujah. See, when you have that love, now you and I ain't got to walk in that love. It's just not a one-time event, is it? And when you can't go by what you feel. Because if you're thinking, well, I'm not feeling God's love. God is not a God of feeling, He's a God of truth, isn't He? And I'm not saying you can't feel His peace and His joy, right? Because you sure can. But you can be led astray by the voice of the stranger, too. Next thing you know, you find yourself being pushed, trying to prove God's love, instead of being led by the Spirit and receiving God's love. You don't have to earn God's love. And that's the lie of the devil, isn't it? And that's what gets us frustrated, caught up, and we fall. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want, or that word means lack. If you're walking in His love, and you're willing to receive His love, unconditional, you won't lack. You will trust. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Hallelujah. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, right? He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, yea. Though I walk through the shadow of the valley, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil. Why? Because you have a love affair now. For you are with me. You are with me. Everybody say, you are with me.
You are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they shall comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a powerful psalm. Powerful. That's because he had a love affair, isn't it? But see, you have a choice, don't you? You can either walk it out. You can make a choice of changing bad habits into godly habits. Right? This is how it happens in our relationship. But everyone in this room has a choice. So addiction is a curse, isn't it? You can't bypass a curse. It's associated with a spiritual root. And the strong man is an unloving spirit or an unclean spirit. And he's breaching love towards me and you.
Amen.
And towards God and towards self. Go to Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. So as God begins to show you certain things of your past where there's been a breach of love, where you're still holding bitterness or unforgiveness, where there's still things that are held there. In other words, when you get angry, you usually see a picture. When you get fearful, you see a picture. Those are associated to your spiritual roots, certain things that have happened. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. In verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You know, some of us need to start sowing love to reap it.
Amen.
Some of us need to start showing mercy, sowing mercy, kindness. Trying to stop manipulating people. Start being honest. Amen? For he who sows to his flesh will reap, will of the flesh reap corruption. And he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Everyone in this room has an opportunity to sow love to one another, to sow mercy to one another, to sow grace to one another, to sow kindness to one another. Doesn't the Word tell us that if you want whatever you want men to do to them, you do to the, you know, whatever you want someone to do to you, you do to them? Amen? Therefore, if we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. God's given us an opportunity in this room to sow to one another in love and compassion. Amen? But don't rob God, right? Don't rob Him. His Bible says, give of your first fruits to Him. You rob God in the morning by not giving to Him. It's not just about finances. If you're not willing to give tithes and offerings, then you're robbing God. That's an open door to demonic activity. Spirit of greed, selfishness, fear opens up. See, there's still that sowing and reaping. So if you give your first fruits to God every day, not only of your possessions, but of yourself. Hello? You'll reap what you sow. Some of us are still waiting for things to happen in our life, and God is waiting on you. He's waiting on you to be honest before Him. Hello? He's waiting. Go to 1 John chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4. Is everybody there? Praise God. In verse 7. 7 to 11. Would you read it with me? Beloved, let us love one another. Is everybody there? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Hello. 1, 2.
Amen.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. For he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation, or to stand in the gap for our sins. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Has everybody got it?
Yeah.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we also to love one another. Now it's time to start sowing some love, isn't it? But verse 18 and 19. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. So we're making that choice, aren't we? Now, I know that some of us had had a breach of love in our parents, right? Even some other loved ones, one way or another. But right now, what I want to do is I want everybody to repeat after me a prayer for cleansing. Okay, I want to do a prayer for cleansing. Would you repeat after me? Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I come to you in the name of Jesus.
I come to you in the name of Jesus.
I thank you that the blood of Jesus forgives me.
I thank you that the blood of Jesus forgives me.
And cleanses me from all sin.
And cleanses me from all sin.
And unrighteousness.
And unrighteousness.
I want to be free.
I want to be free.
I want every bondage broken.
I want every bondage broken.
In my life.
In my life.
I renounce the hidden works of darkness.
Over my life,
and I ask you to break
any
work of unrighteousness,
any work of unrighteousness.
I do not want to be bound any longer.
I do not want to be bound any longer.
You know how I have used my hands?
I know how I have used my hands.
In unclean ways?
In unclean ways.
Wrong touching?
Wrong touching.
The ways my hands?
The ways my hands.
Have brought pain to others?
Have brought pain to others.
I ask you to forgive me for sinning. Against my hands.
Against my hands.
Come and wash my hands clean.
Come and wash my hands clean.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Father, I give you my mouth and my tongue.
Father, I give you my mouth and my tongue.
You know how I've used my mouth in unclean ways.
You know how I've used my mouth in unclean ways.
Wrong touching.
Wrong touching.
Unclean speech.
Unclean speech.
Gossip.
Gossip.
Speaking evil of others.
Speaking others.
I ask you to forgive me for sinning against you.
I ask you to forgive me for sinning against you.
Others and my mouth.
Others and my mouth.
I renounce all uncleanliness.
I renounce all uncleanliness.
And darkness.
Darkness.
That came to me through my mouth.
That came to me through my mouth.
I refuse to allow.
I refuse to allow.
It to speak or touch darkness again.
And to speak or touch darkness again.
Come and wash my mouth clean in Jesus' name.
Come and wash my mouth clean in Jesus' name.
I give you my eyes.
I give you my eyes.
You know every way I have opened the door.
You know every way I have opened the door.
To darkness.
Of my eye gates.
Unclean things that I've looked upon.
Unclean things that I've looked upon.
Unclean pictures.
Unclean pictures.
Pornography.
Lust of the eye.
Senses of the past.
Senses of the past.
That have released darkness in me.
I release darkness in me.
I renounce those sins.
I renounce those sins.
Of darkness and ask you to forgive me.
Darkness and ask you to forgive me.
For sinning against my eyes.
For sinning against my eyes.
And you.
And you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I refuse for my eye gate.
I refuse for my eye gate.
To be bound by any darkness any longer.
To be bound by any darkness any longer.
I receive your deliverance.
I receive your deliverance.
May your light cleanse out all darkness in me.
May your light cleanse out all darkness in me.
Father, I give you my ears.
Father, I give you my ears.
You know every unclean thing I've listened to.
You know every unclean thing I've listened to.
And that it defiled me through the ear gate.
That it defiled me through the ear gate.
Forgive me for listening to gossip and evil spoken of others.
Forgive me for listening to gossip and evil spoken from others.
I renounce the darkness.
I renounce the darkness.
And ask that you cleanse the ear gate through the blood of Jesus.
And ask that you cleanse the ear gate through the blood of Jesus.
You know how others have spoken words over me.
You know how others have spoken words over me.
That have caused me to feel shame.
That have caused me to feel shame.
Devalued.
Devalued.
Downgraded.
Downgraded.
And rejected.
And rejected.
I choose to forgive each person for negative words.
I choose to forgive each person for negative words.
I renounce the power of those words.
I renounce the power of those words.
And break those holds off of my life.
And break those holds off of my life.
May your love cleanse me.
May your love cleanse
from all defilement in Jesus' name. I give you my mind.
I give you my mind.
Thoughts and imaginations.
Thoughts and imaginations.
And I ask that you cleanse me from all uncleanliness.
I ask that you cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
And defilement that has entered me.
And defilement that has entered me.
I repent of opening my mind to ungodly beliefs.
Opening my mind to ungodly beliefs.
Lusts.
Lusts.
Fantasies.
Ungodly imaginations.
I ask that you forgive me and cleanse my mind through the blood.
I ask that you forgive me and cleanse my mind through the blood.
I renounce all open doors in my thought life.
I renounce all open doors in my thought life.
That have led to darkness and oppression.
That led to darkness and oppression.
I renounce the spirit of bondage and torment.
I renounce the spirit of bondage and torment.
I receive your light flooding my mind.
I receive your light flooding my mind.
And driving out all darkness.
And driving out all darkness.
Cleanse my evil conscience.
Through
the power of Jesus Christ.
Through the power of Jesus Christ.
I give you my body.
I give you my body.
That which is uniquely made.
That which is uniquely made.
I ask that you cleanse my body with the washing of the water of the Word.
I ask that you cleanse my body with the washing of the water of the Word.
From all defilement.
From all defilement.
And uncleanliness that I've experienced. And all cleanliness that I've experienced.
And all cleanliness that I've experienced.
From those who have used my body.
Those who have used my body,
or touched me in an unclean way.
I choose to forgive them. I choose to forgive them.
And release them.
And release them.
I renounce any unclean spirit.
I renounce any unclean spirit.
That others have imparted in me. I renounce the power of darkness off of my body.
I renounce the power of darkness off my body.
And I receive your cleansing.
And I receive your cleansing.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
You know how I used my body.
You know how I used my body.
To gratify my own desires.
To gratify my own desires.
In ways that made me feel unclean.
In ways that made me feel unclean.
I ask that you wash my body from all sense of shame.
I ask that you wash my body from all sense of shame.
From all unhealthy desires,
from all unhealthy desires
that influence me,
that influence me.
I release all uncleanliness.
I release all uncleanliness
and refuse to be bound by it any longer.
And refuse to be bound by it any longer.
I restore to childlike innocence, and a sense of purity.
And a sense of purity.
You know the love need that I have had.
You know the love need that I have had.
Forgive me for seeking love.
Love
in all the wrong places.
In all the wrong places.
I do not want that pattern in my life anymore.
I do not want that pattern in my life anymore.
I renounce it.
I renounce it.
I need your love, Father.
I need your love, Father.
I choose you.
I choose you
to be my Father.
To be my Father.
And my love.
And my love.
I choose to be your child.
I choose to be your child.
I need your fatherly love.
I need your fatherly love.
And affection to come to me.
And affection to come to me.
Penetrate my character and personality.
My character and personality.
I need you to take me into your arms.
I need you to take me into your arms.
Pour your love into me.
Pour your love into me.
Father, I lift my heart and hands to you.
Father, I lift my heart and hands to you.
As a child.
As a child.
For you are my dad.
For you are my dad.
And I ask that you come to me now.
And I ask that you come to me now.
Here I am, Daddy.
Here I am, Daddy.
I take you.
I
receive you.
I receive you.
And I need you.
And I need you.
Take me in your arms.
Take me in your arms.
And give me the love of my dad.
Give me the love of my dad.
That didn't know how to give it.
That didn't know how to give it.
Give me the love I have shared.
Give me the love that I have shared.
With others.
With others.
And search.
And search.
For my whole life.
For my whole life.
Give me your love.
Give me your love.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen and hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Praise God. A couple other prayers I want to pray, all right? You all right?
Yeah.
Good. Some of the things that we've done, that our families have done to us, our mother, our father, that we never could receive from them, that love that was needed. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want you to repeat after me, because we want to forgive our parents. Amen.
Amen.
What you're doing is just making confession of repentance towards them. I want you to say, Mom and Dad,
Mom and Dad,
I needed your comfort.
I needed your comfort.
And express love so much.
And express love so much.
I didn't realize just how much I needed it. But Mom and Dad,
but
because of your own emotional crises,
you
weren't always able to give me the love that I needed.
You were not always able to give me the love that I needed.
There were times when I needed to hear tender tones.
There were times when I needed to hear tender tones.
In your voice.
In your voice.
But instead your words pierced my heart.
Instead your words pierced my heart.
There were times I needed to see your eyes.
There were times when I needed to see your eyes.
And in them.
And in
them,
the love
that I needed,
even when I failed you.
There were times I needed to be drawn
to the comfort of your breast or your bosom.
But you weren't there.
Mom and Dad,
I forgive you
for all the things
and all the times
you did not know
what you were doing.
You also were hurt
and wounded in your youth.
I forgive you
for not knowing how to express love to me
in the way that I needed it.
I forgive you
for not knowing how to take me in your arms
and provide that place of safety
and comfort.
I forgive your inability to open your heart to me in a way,
to open your heart to me in a way
that will cause me to believe,
and trust fully in your love.
I forgive you,
for your inability
to provide
me
with affectional touch,
loving eye contact,
and the nurture
of your closeness
that I so needed.
I release you from any resentment
or bitterness.
I speak the blessing of God over you.
I honor you as my mother and my father,
who gave me life
and brought me into this world.
Thank you for the gift of life.
I commit myself
to walk in
an
attitude of love
and forgiveness towards you both
from this day forward.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Again, I come to you, Father.
So grateful
for your grace
and unconditional love.
Thank you for sending your Son to pay the price for my sins.
You love me the way I am.
Not the way that others see me.
I confess
that I have not been walking
in the lifestyle of your grace.
But I have striving. I've been striving
to attain righteousness on my own.
My pride
has stood in the way
of my relationship
with you
and my relationship with others.
I've come into agreement
with the enemy through my thoughts and attitudes.
I have been critical
and judgmental of others.
And I understand now the consequences
of what I've done.
I repent for my sins,
and I ask you to forgive me
and cleanse me from all of my unrighteous thoughts,
attitudes,
and actions
that stand in the way
of a vital
and intimate relationship with you.
I choose to forgive each person
who has hurt me.
Father,
please help me to have a right
and a correct view of myself,
to understand my own shortcomings and failures,
but also to view them
through the lenses of your love
and grace.
Help me define my sense of worth in you
and your love for me,
rather than through my own accomplishments.
I commit myself to a lifestyle of love
and grace,
rather than requiring perfection
of others.
I choose to walk in humility
rather than pride.
I choose to value my relationship with you
and with whom I love more
than I value promoting myself
and the need to be right.
Thank you for your patience with me.
I am so blessed to be called your child.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus.